upon this time. Father God, your word says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord watches the city, the watchmen watch in vain. So too, God, unless you put your Holy Spirit in this word that we're about to read and study, it's worthless, it's wasteful, it's prodigal. Lord, I have nothing to say. Your word has everything to say. There is no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Please, God, put the salt of your spirit and the salt of your word and preserve us, that we be bold to love. God, I do pray for ready hearts to receive a good word, a word of aggressive nature, a word of a hard word even. We need the water of your spirit to swallow a jagged pill today, God. Please be with us as your word goes forth. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. This Bible study is not for most of you. This Bible study today, some of you are spectators of, and you can look at the rest of us who received this Bible study. I'm one of them. And you could say, that's what they're supposed to do. So I give a lot of you an out to just kind of tune out. But to those that this Bible study is for, you will be recognized immediately as I start to preach this message. And you will have the choice to receive it or to reject it. There will also be some of you who this Bible study is not for, that you will want to step into the light of this Bible study. You say, you know what? I know it's not for me, but I want it for me. Especially you ladies. This is more of a man's Bible study. This is a message for a men's conference or something like that. But some of you sisters are Deborahs, Jaels. Some of you sisters are Marys. You're ready. You say, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, as the mother of our Lord Jesus said. Maybe, maybe not. So please, if you're offended by some of the things that I say, if you're a pearl clutcher, if you're soft in heart and spirit, I offer no apologies. I just say, relax. It's not for you anyway. With that introduction, the word of the Lord, 2 Timothy chapter 2, you, therefore, my son. I don't know what kind of house you grew up in, real quick, guys, but in my house, I was you. That was my name. So as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh, he's talking to me. Hey, you! Go take the garbage out, you. You know, Dad, I have a name. I can't remember your name. Growing up, we had two babies that passed early, and then it was me and my brother who grew up together. And my brother's name was Adam. A few years ago, about 8 or 9 years ago, he went home to be with the Lord in his mid-40s. And my name is Ryan. And so my father could never remember any of our names. It was probably all the potty smoke, but it was Radom. So we were both Radom. You, Jimmy, you get, were you a you? What were you? You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let me explain to you verse 1. The word grace has multiple meanings. It's a layered word. First and foremost, grace, God riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense, meaning what you've done and what you're doing is no longer held against you, because he who is for you died and made something more powerful than he who was against you. what is against you, yourself, the world, and the enemy. And what he did, mightier, stronger, more potent. You with me? So his first thing he says is, listen, you, son, stop your freaking whining. Stop your crybaby, boo-hoo nonsense. Nobody cares. The grace that is upon you is strong. Be strong in that grace. Forget about I can't, I won't, I don't speak, I'm not educated. Forget about all that. Be strong in the grace that is upon you. The word for grace also has another meaning. It's called charismo in the Greek. It's this power, this in jiu-jitsu, in Japanese slang, they call it us. Us. Good victory. Us. You get it? Us. Grace is a power. It's like the power of grace flows through you. It's an interesting thing, this word grace. It's a mighty word. And here, Father is talking to the Son. Apostle Paul says, my son, I want you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You have now the vehicle and the destination. Again, here's where we separate some of you guys who this message is for, some who it's not for. Hey, boy, I want you to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get busy about the work. And the work is making yourself a duplicate. You must duplicate yourself. You must teach other men who could teach this message. What message? Be strong in the grace that is upon you. That is from Christ Jesus. You got to spread that out, man. You got to give that to other people. You got to be strong and do that. A mutual exclusive here, my sisters. Make no mistake about it. This is not gender exclusive. Hold on 1 second, guys. What's up, bro? What do you need? Who do you need? Yeah. Please don't count people. Please don't count people. Please don't. Somebody explain that to him later on. Never count the people. David did that once. Big mistake. Big, big mistake. Bless your heart for serving, but don't ever count the people. It's about 25, I think. So please, ladies, this is where, if you want, you could step out of the shade that is in this Bible study and you could step into the light, because this is not an exclusive masculine message, although it does sound like it, and maybe I speak a little too aggressively in that area and it sounds like it's for men only. I want you, my son, to remember the things that I've taught you. And you've heard, I've taught others as well. And I want you to find men who can receive this message, who could also share it with other people. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Before we even go to verse 4, which I don't believe should be a break in this sentence there. I think 3 should be 3. I don't believe in verse 4 here as far as being the separate. But he says, I don't know who told you that once you accepted Christ as your Savior, everything was going to be peachy keen, everything was going to be roses, but it ain't. Here's the promise. Endure hardship as a soldier. As a soldier. This is the first inclination that there might be something missing here. because the vast majority of the Christians I know do not look like soldiers, seamen, airmen, Marines, or anything of that nature. They look like a bunch of crybaby wimps.
The government wants to take my taxes. They want to come and shut my church down. I'll do online church. YouTube shut my comments down.
You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Watch this. Drew, why is the sky blue?
Because God loves the
infantry. Hoo-ha! Who enlisted you? Bible says that you did not choose him, he chose you. He chose you. You are not a college educated, get in as an officer type of person here if you're a Christian. You're enlisted, you're in the infantry. You are the blood and guts. You are the people who will die first. You're the first boots on the ground and the last boots to leave. You're a SEAL, you're special ops. You who I'm talking to anyway. Like I said, you guys I'm not talking to, just go, this guy's a weirdo. Glad he's not talking to me, because I'm not. It's quite offensive. I'm not offending you. I'm talking to people who can receive this message. I'm talking to the same person that the Apostle Paul was speaking of. And he said very simply, very basically, there is no excuses. I believe the Lord Jesus spoke it this way. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me daily. Paraphrased, don't tell me about your poor, pitiful life. Anything that I've allowed to happen to you, I've allowed to happen to you so that you can use it to bring others to Christ. I'm sorry if my plan did not match your plan. I'm so sorry that if the things that I let happen to you, whether they were physical in nature, sexual in nature, financial, I'm sorry if they didn't go with your plan for your life. However, when you were enlisted in my army, I had a plan. And there's other people that the same stuff that happened to you happened to, and you're supposed to be out there helping them, not sitting around feeling sorry for yourself. Not sitting in your car wearing your mask and driving. You ever see somebody riding their bicycle wearing a mask and you think to yourself, are you serious, dude? Look, I understand you want to be nice to people, you wear your mask in a restaurant. I understand that. I dig that. I like the fact that you want to go walk in Home Depot, wear the mask. Home Depot, right. Construction workers and home do it yourself. Yeah, okay, fine. But in your car alone? Trying not to spread COVID to yourself? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Listen to me. Every time I see a pastor or a Christian fall into sexual sin, it turns my stomach. Like, are you that wimpy? Are you that weak? Really? I've had many opportunities to cheat on my wife. I'm a good-looking dude. So my wife tells me anyway. Listen, it can't be. You don't entangle, I'm sorry. I know that all the songs, variety is the spice of life, blah, 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 blah. You don't get entangled in that nonsense. We do what we're told. Brothers, sisters who I'm talking to, whom this message is for, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Amen. Stop acting in your feelings. You follow your heart, you're a fool. You don't do what you feel like. You do what you're told. You do what you're supposed to. We don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't watch pornography, we don't screw around. We are programmed. Your marriage even. I don't care if you don't get along, if you don't like him, you don't like her, forget that. We have a job to do, man. We exalt marriage like marriage is like, oh, it's the epitome, the ultimate. No, it's not. The Apostle Paul said, I'm trying to save you trouble. I'm trying to save you trouble. Don't get married. But if you got to get married, better than burning with lust, get married. But live like you're single, man. Live like you know what you're supposed to be doing here on this earth. You got a great relationship with your spouse? Fantastic. Praise God. No, don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. Especially in this day and age. My goodness. People are dying and going to hell every day. Every day. What are you doing? Oh, my mommy didn't love me. Oh, I didn't get breastfed for 2 years. Get to stop! The Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, dude, I need you to cut it out. Stop with your feelings and emotions, man. People are going to hate you. They hated me first. They're going to hate you, the Lord Jesus said. And as a matter of fact, he went further. He said, if you're friends with the world, you're doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong. If the world loves you, you know what he said? Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. For so they did the false prophets. I don't care who likes me and who doesn't like me. I'm not here. I'm not interested. Whatever. Let me tell you something. Being a pastor has taught me in the last 15 years of being a senior pastor. People are going to smash your feelings, and you can't let that stop you. They come here, you invest in their life, you pray for them, you pray with them, you love them, and then all of a sudden, they decide to start going to another church because they had to wait in line before. I'm sorry, there's two people in front of you here after the service. I'm sorry. I don't want to wait in line. After a couple of years, you're like, okay, au revoir, au revoir, bye-bye. Next, who wants to serve? Who wants to serve the Lord together? Let's do it. We'll be at the beach tonight. Who wants to get? No? Okay, bye. See ya. Oh, man, I got saved with that guy. We got saved at the same time. He ain't going to church anymore. Bye. See ya at Home Depot sometime. You follow me? Sound cold? Sound calculated? You bet it is. I cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life. Cannot be. Will not be. There is no distraction. I must finish this race. I can do ministry for 30 years. One screw up, it's over. That's all they remember. That's all. All they remember. I want my grandkids, should the Lord tarry, and I do not believe he is. Pop-Pop was crazy, but he loved God. My Pop-Pop loved God. What's your Pop-Pop? My Pop-Pop was a pastor for like 30 years. Really? Yeah, it was crazy though. It wasn't like a regular pastor. Isn't that the saddest thing in the world? Let me tell you what the saddest thing in the world is to me. People meet me. Oh, you work? Yeah, I work. You do jujitsu? Yeah, almost every day. Really? You're a pastor too? Yeah, is that weird? yeah, that's weird. Why? Well, because every pastor I know is looking for a big church. Every pastor I know is looking to go into full-time ministry. Every pastor I know, fill in the blank. From day one, I told this church the same thing. If you're looking for pathetic, perfect, and proper, you got the wrong church. And if you are pathetic, perfect, or proper, you found the wrong church. Go somewhere else. We are going to serve God, and I will drive you to serve God, or you will run away. Because ain't nobody sitting around here and doing nothing without being me getting in their face. How could you say that? Because that's what the Bible just said. It's my job to get the saints ready for the work of the ministry. To commit this message to faithful men who can teach others the same thing. So what should I come up here and do? I know what I should do. Let's do another teaching on tithing. Now that the economy's good again and maybe it's not going good, you want to prepare something, okay? Maybe you can fat that box up. No. No, 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 no. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You see what he said? You can't be a cheater. Like, you find out, did anybody see that story about, oh, dude, this is like the most heartbreaking thing in the world. What's that guy's name who just died? Ravi Zacharias. You find out, like, he was a secret perv behind closed doors. And, like, everybody knew it. It's like, Ravi, you? Man, you understand? You can't do this life. This Christian life as a cheater. No, 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 no. You can't do it as a cheater. Nobody, you don't get the reward. You don't get that golden globe. Now that might be like in certain sports of athletic, in jujitsu we have a saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying hard enough. But that ain't like that in Christian life. You can't cheat. You can't cheat. There's just some rules that we have to follow here as a pastor. No violence, no pornography, no cheating, no alcohol, no drugs. That's it. You guys out there that this message ain't for, you can screw it up and do that stuff and just keep coming back. That's, God will forgive you. You can still go to heaven. I don't get that. One kiss of another woman. Ministry, over. One time I get caught watching porno. Ministry, over. I smack one guy in the mouth for the wrong reason. Well, like if somebody's threatening my wife and kids and I'm at some place and I have to protect them, that's a different thing. God take somebody down, choke them out. But I'm telling you, I can't like get into an argument with a guy at a parking lot, you know what I mean? And like lose my temper and crack him in the mouth. You know, then I'm forced to turn the other cheek. You know, a guy smacks me over a parking spot. It's like, I can't do that. I don't get that option. I have to walk on the edge of a knife every single day. I don't get that option. And you, who this message is for, don't either. You don't either. You program yourself. You shut down your feelings and emotions, and you be who you're supposed to be. Listen, ladies. Let me give you a little bit of a word of encouragement as I'm giving the brothers. In the bedroom, you act like your husband's wife. In the kitchen, you act like your husband's chef. With your children, you act like your children's mother. At your job, you act like a representation of Christ. And don't mix those up. And if you bring those bedroom eyes into work, shame on you. And if you bring that wherever outfit you're on, you don't confuse that. Just like we don't get to confuse that. Now, some of you guys might be offended by that. I don't care. I don't care. If I have to give you my life story and tell you I got to walk the line, you walk the line too. If this message is for you. There's a time to be sexy. There's a time to be a good cook. There's a time to be a hard worker. There's a time to be all of that stuff. Make sure you keep those times where they belong. Then he says something interesting here, and I think this is what you call coded. Coded. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. He codes his words to his son, and he says, listen. And I love the way he does this, and this is what gets confused. He's telling his son, who's a pastor, listen, if you need to get some money, it's okay. But that's not why you're there. He even uses this coded language. He says to him, the hardworking farmer, not the lazy butt farmer, not the guy who tells everybody else what to do and doesn't do nothing himself, the hardworking farmer, he gets to eat of the fruit. If you want to be a farmer, if you want to be the one who feeds the sheep, tends the sheep, takes care of the sheep, maintains the sheep, you can take a little something from the church so you don't go broke. But pray about that and see how the Lord leads you. Because the Apostle Paul was the first one to say, we ain't making money doing this thing. Ministry is not a financial choice we make. It's not a career choice. You who choose a ministry career for money, you're going to have a problem with God when you get there. A big problem. Paul said, everywhere I went, I asked for nothing from nobody. I made tents. I was a tent maker. Every place I went, first order of business was survival. Let me go around and say, hey, your tent here is tore. I could fix that for you. Where did these pastors, quote unquote, get the idea that they can get up here with their Rolex and their fancy suit and their $200 haircut and preach a message? We got to keep tithes going. We've been doing online services and people aren't showing up. We had to let go of half our staff. I said this a couple weeks ago. I've been thrown out of multiple pastoral groups because my four favorite words over the last year have been, get a freaking job. Oh, bro, how are you doing it? How is it? How is this? How is this? I'm like, guys, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You wait your whole life. Oh, my goodness. Guys, anybody who's ever read the Bible has asked themselves, what would I do if I had walked with Christ at the time where they prosecuted him? Where they persecute him. What would I have done? Would I have been like Peter who pulled out the sword? Would I have been like this guy that ran? What? Well, now you know. And that's what I told them. I told this group of pastors, about 20 of us in a group. I said, well, now you know what you would have done. You would have ran away. You would have tried an online service. Ryan, that was so mean. You're so rude. Where's the love? Love. Love! Fresh out. Fresh out. If love means patronizing your laziness, If love means understanding your a hireling, you're a hireling. You did this for the money, and now the cash cow has moved on, and you're wondering what you're going to do. Why are you wondering? Because you don't have a job, and you're afraid. That's one of the things I really respected about, we had this guy, Chet Lowe. He's a weirdo, definitely a weirdo, but you know, he's a missionary for a lot of years, so you're going to be weird when you're a missionary like that. But one time I was in Walmart, and I saw him in Walmart, and he had this little vest on that said Walmart on it. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I needed some money, so I got a job. What are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, I've got 19 kids, and the church only pays so much. I mean, I get a good salary, no complaints, but I prayed, and the Lord said, get a job. So the dude went to Walmart and got a job.
Amen.
And I was impressed. And again, weird dude. A lot of stuff I didn't agree with that dude about. But man, you can't knock the fact that he was not afraid to get dirty. Anybody remember that? You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember when he got a job at Walmart?
Absolutely.
I was blown away. Yeah, you were a kid at the time. You were just a lad. And I actually thought ill of the church because of it. I remember at the time, I was a big church guy. You know, I was part of a big church. And I was like, oh my goodness. Why don't they give that guy more money to help his family? Hey, Tom, you remember when Chet Lowe got a job at Walmart because the church wasn't paying him enough?
That was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but...
Why, you getting a job somewhere?
Tom, I've got me a job. That's right, and it ain't working here. All right, continuing. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. Listen, I have to read this in the manner that he was saying it. I visualize the Apostle Paul in this dark, dank, smelly, damp. I said damp twice. I know. I think of a word where it's dark and it's nasty, and he's writing, and he's trying to encourage his son. The last thing, this is the last letter that my boy is going to get from me. And it's got to be like a scene from like Lord of the Rings, you know what I mean? Men of the West, you know, like one of those encouraging fights. And he says to him like this, he goes, remember that Jesus Christ was the seed of David. He was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered troubles and evildoer, even to the point of these chains. But the word of God is not chained. You hear it? The word of God is not chained. Yes. What a great visual. What an amazing visual. That's right. Even if you're in chains, the word of God is not stopped. It's not kept down. It's not kept back. It's not limited. It is not in chains. Right? Right? And this is what he wants his son to know. You guys, this is your first service here. It's not always like this. I swear. Yo, Brendan, I ain't always like this, bro. It's just one of those messages. I swear, I'm not. Like, when he came to the wrong church. My uncle said you was a little fiery, but... Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. Man. Somebody want to read this? I endure all things for the sake of the chosen. No matter what I go through, there's this one pastor who I respected for so many years, and he got caught cheating on his wife, and he became this big national pastor because he wrote a couple of books, and they asked him why he cheated on his wife, and you know what he said? Because she cheated on me. Yeah. Yeah, she cheated on him, so I was going to. I thought to myself, I endure all things for the elect. I know some brothers in here whose wives, they're sick physically, mentally, and the marriage is not a marriage like a typical, prototypical marriage. It's a mess. Got every reason to divorce. I even one of the brothers even said, listen, you're not bound to this woman anymore. He said to me, I ain't going nowhere. I made my commitment, I'm keeping it. But you're getting nothing out of it. What a testimony, what a witness. I endure all things for the elect. How many of us can say that? I endure all things so that other people, how many people will say that?
Well, I can't take anymore. That's the end of it for me.
That they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. I'm adding, but Timothy, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Not to strive about words with not profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Who cares?
Well, you know, I believe in predestination.
Don't care.
Well, I believe that works.
Don't care. Don't care what you believe. Not interested. Argue with somebody else about your doctrine. Argue with somebody else about your nonsense. Don't care. Too much work to do. We had some people from Jews for Jesus used to come out here. Oh, bro, I love the way you stick to the word and you go chapter by chapter and book by book. But do you think Christians should still keep the Sabbath? Wrong question. Bye. Take it easy. Walk away. Get stepping. No, not doing it. Got too much to do here. Well, I think that Christians should keep the dietary. Eat what you want. Do what you want. Here, I got a better idea. Tell me what you did for the Lord last week. Because you didn't show up to church last Wednesday. You didn't show up to the beach on Sunday night. When we're doing outreach at the convalescent homes, you're not there. But you want to come here and ask me about dietary law? Dude, please. Please. I'm so disinterested in it at this point in my life. There was a point in time, believe me, there was this whole debate that was going on. I remember when I was a young Christian, I was 5 or 6 years old in the Lord, and somebody brought me this book, and it was all about why the NIV Bible is a wicked book. It took the word holy out like 300 times. At one point, the name of the Lord Jesus was the same as the name of, and I realized, oh my goodness. I told my wife, baby, you gotta stop reading that NIV. Gotta get away from that thing, it's no good. And then it said, now, and the NASB, here's why that one's wrong. And the NASB, and this one, and that one's wrong, and that one's wrong, and this one's wrong, and that one's wrong. There's only one Bible you read, King James, that's it. Where'est thou go from here? I'm so glad I grew up. I have no more words without, no more. Done, over, look, let's serve God together. Listen, better to talk about that stuff, I guess, than the basketball game and the people and Chinese stuff. Fine. But do me a favor, argue words without profit to hearing people with somebody else. Here, we don't have enough people to serve the children. Okay, please. The gift of argument I don't need. Now, listen to what he says here. This is the charge that I love. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. You see, when you come up with enough doctrines and enough isms and pre-wrath and post-trib and all this, eventually, all it does is hurt. So in these people, Philetus and Hymenaeus, they had a theory. Oh, you guys missed the resurrection. You missed it. He's already come back. Do you know how many people don't believe you should teach the Old Testament? In the Calvary Chapel movement. Do you know how many people don't believe in prophecy? You know how many people believe that the book of Revelations is already passed? That's what he's talking about here. Oh, the book of Revelations already happened. Huh? You seen the Antichrist? I haven't seen him. Well, you didn't see him because they call that pre-wrath. It's like, you know what? Guys, please stay off the internet. You guys ever see the word money, the movie Moneyball? Okay, there's a great scene in the movie Moneyball. This guy in the movie Moneyball, he's a general manager of the Oakland A's. And his daughter is only like 13 or 14 years old. And she comes to him, she goes, Dad, are you okay? And he goes, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I've heard you're having some problems. Like, where did you hear those? She's like, well, people talk. Like, people talk? Yeah, like on the internet. On the internet? Yeah, like, and at one point he goes, listen, do me a favor. Stay off the internet. Don't talk to people. Don't read the papers. Don't do nothing. We're fine. And I remember that. It was kind of like, that's what you want to say sometimes. Like, don't go on the internet. Don't read the papers. Christian, you're fine. You're fine. God's got this. I don't care whether Trump gets reelected or not reelected. I don't care whether Biden is the president. I don't care. I don't care. You know why? God's in control. No. Maybe you didn't get that. God is in control. I don't care who's the president. Now, if I had my way, but I don't get my way. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. You hear what that says? This is the last thing we're going to read. Now we're going to do communion. Listen, who's saved and who's not saved? Well, I think this guy's saved because he said that. I think that lady's saved. Nobody knows who's saved and who's not. The Lord knows who is his and who is not. That's it. Well, my father accepted Christ, but now he went back to Catholicism. Well, my mother did it. Listen to me. Listen. The Lord knows who's his. Your job, keep preaching the message, son. That's what he says. Now, again, you can go back to sleep now. Those that this message was for, you received it. Those who it wasn't for, it's okay. We'll come back next week. We'll do a Bible study for everybody. If the brothers could please hand out the communion elements, and you could consider some of the things that we talked about, maybe you want to jump into the oncoming traffic that was this message and get smashed to smithereens like the rest of us. Hallelujah. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That is what we're going to do communion on today. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let me say that again. Oh, you got them in cups and everything. I like it. Remember what I said earlier. It's time to pre-program. It's time now, because some people put it like this. The rapture of the church at Calvary Chapel, we have believed for some 60-some-odd years that Calvary Chapel has been a movement, is imminent. Chuck Smith, in all his books, said that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. And in the way he used this cute little thing, he says, you know how imminent sounds like in a minute? So the return of Christ is in a minute. And now, he's already gone home to be with the Lord, Chuck Smith. So for him, Christ didn't return, he returned to Christ. So whether we return to Christ or Christ returns to us, believe me, it's imminent. And as a man who's now 56 years old in another few weeks, I'm closer to 60 than 50. I don't know how that happened. You young kids are like, yeah, it's your old. You older folk here are like, amen, I don't know how it happened. Somehow, it just happened. I look at pictures of myself, and my hair was dark and there. The return of Jesus Christ is imminent. And it's time for you who receive this message to understand. It's time to self-examine. According to the Bible, the time of communion is to examine oneself. And for some of you guys that have been struggling with things, some of you guys are money funny. Some of you guys are sex weird. Some of you guys are relationship challenged. You don't let people close to your heart. Some of you guys stumble and struggle with all kinds of things. Me too. Me too. I got my stuff. Ask my wife. It's time to release it now. To let it go. You got a job to do. What an exciting life this is. You know, me and my family, we vacation up in this little town. It used to be called, you know, a little town. It's called Ellijay in Georgia. It's right outside of Blue Ridge, which is a little more popular of a town. And we're up there, and there's these little places where people go. There's like 20 different kinds of apples and like 10 different kinds of peaches. And depending on what time of the year you go there, they pick them off the trees, and you're kind of like eating fresh fruit. Ain't not like getting it from Publix or Walmart or anything like that. But you talk to some of the people that work there, and one thing you find out is there's a whole lot more people in these little small redneck towns that are wearing the service than in the big cities. And I think that's kind of weird. Like you talk to, this one was in the Marine Corps, that one was in the Navy, that one was in the Army. Like here, the vast majority of people don't join the service, but yet in these little towns, I guess one of the only ways they can get out of those little towns because they're poor is by joining the service. And you talk to these people and you're like, this guy, oh yeah, I spent 3 years in Germany, 2 years in Luxembourg, and 5 years in London, and you know, and then I was in Afghanistan, and you think, man, a guy in a little town like that did a lot of traveling. Thank you, brother. But and that's how Christianity is. It's like if you actually did the things, if you're here and you actually did these things, if you let go of your sin, surrendered your life fully. Dude, I put you on a plane tomorrow. We got some people all over. We got a woman in Romania who needs help bad. We got this lady that's in, where in Africa is she again? I always forget. Uganda. Oh my goodness. She's got like a gigantic, it's become big. The government actually gave them a bunch of land, and all they do is take care of orphans. And you think you know what an orphan is? You ain't seen an orphan until you've seen a 2-year-old walking out of the woods with every kind of disease known to man, and no parents got shot dead. They have orphans there. They need help over there bad. We got Danielle and Aaron in Germany. Danielle just started an online magazine for women. Oh, she'd love some help writing that thing. We would pay for it. But you gotta surrender your life. You gotta lay everything down at the foot of the cross. You can't go out there limping. You got to go there walking. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Come on now. It's time to stand up for this thing. I want you. I'm going to close my Bible. I'm going to pick up my elements. We're going to give a minute of silence. Just a minute. You know where they are. I want you to sit down. I want you to look at the representation of Christ's blood. The representation of Christ's body, and I want you to tell God, no, this time you're getting serious about your drinking. No, this time you're getting serious about the herb. No, this time you're getting serious about filling your sin. You know what God wants to take from you. You know what you struggled with for so long. You know. Now, it's not going to stop you from getting to heaven. But for you who this message is for, you know what I'm talking about. You know what God wants to do. So, go ahead. Take a minute and a half, and let's just let the hush of Christ's Spirit fill this place. Let's do something a little different. Stay with an attitude of prayer, please. Just if you agree with the prayers that I'm about to pray, just say them in your heart. You don't have to repeat them. Lord Jesus, I'm so ready to serve you. You know that this bread that represents your body, may it fill my heart as well as my belly. May I serve you with zeal and vigor, with holiness, God, maybe for the first time in my life. God, I examine my life. I don't want to eat and drink in an unworthy manner at all, because your word says that I'll bring judgment upon myself. I don't want to do that, but I know how sinful I am, and what's more, I know how sinful you know that I am. Please, God, I'm always like that guy in the Bible who says, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm always like that guy, and I'm sick of being like that guy. I want to be like Mary, who just said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, who said, take me, I'm yours. Here I am, send me. I'm tired of my sins getting in the way of my service. I'm tired of being so emotional and so weak, thinking that I'm strong. So please, God, as I eat, do something amazing and supernatural. God, as we just read today, Christ died for my sins according to my gospel. And this cup of the representation of your blood is the cup of forgiveness. It's the sanctification of the New Testament in my soul. It's the knowledge that I'm going to be sinful, but I'm strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I'm strong because your forgiveness is upon me, God, and help me not to condemn myself, but also help me to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. God, as I partake this, may it be like a cup of supernatural energy and strength to serve you until I see you, to serve you until I see you, to serve you until I see you. Drink. Father God, we thank you for today's word. God, and I pray above everything else, and none of us are ever the same after this, God, that the seal of the Holy Spirit, which keeps your spirit alive and well in us will sanctify the power of the risen Savior. We stand on the promise that says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. May this be one of these life-changing messages. I remember them well when my pastor used to preach them. Not like a step of stairs, but like an escalator that took me to the next level because I made commitments to you, God. May we make these commitments to you. Never more sit around feeling sorry for ourselves. But to drag people out of the gates of hell and push them into the gate of heaven. Only by your power and your grace. Amen.
Amen.